anyone have a hymn for to start?
329.
329. Good morning. Welcome into the house of the Lord. Do we have any greetings?
Yes, Mom spoke with Erwin and Deli. And Deli asked specifically, please pray for Erwin. He has some health, as we all know, some really challenging health issues. More recently a hernia, and so not sure they can operate given his health issues. So please pray for them.
For Erwin and Deli.
Yeah, and they send their love and greetings. And also, as you can attest, Brother Frank, we had 27 elders together, which is a full attendance.
Yes.
And we're so thankful for the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit amongst us in that meeting these past 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a true blessing to be there, to be able to labor. Also, to note that Brother Roman Benza, the elder brother from Hollywood, is retired as of yesterday. So he becomes Elder Emeritus, is the title that he gave himself. And Brother Paul Kaczynski from Avon Road will be the serving elder for Hollywood for the transition.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, we bring greetings from the elders' meeting. And we did a lot of hours of meeting there. I think it was like 12 hours each day or something. We are thankful for God's presence, and we're thankful for your prayers for that. We also have the Operation Christmas Child that I think we're going to schedule that for the 9th, that we could pack the boxes and then later on bring them to there to be sent out. We also have a members' meeting scheduled for next Sunday, so that will be in the afternoon. Today's afternoon will be just a song service for this afternoon. Also, the assignment sheets for those teachers and helpers are out in the back, and you should pick up yours when you can. Also, Mike Smith is still not feeling well, and he's having trouble getting therapy. And there was one therapy that they could come to his house, but they only had that at 8 o'clock in the morning, and he doesn't. It takes him a while to get set in the morning, and he doesn't know if he's hoping that there would be something else, but we'll want to see about that. Also, Brother Harry is having a surgery on the 5th, I think it is, and so we should keep him in prayer for that. And there's also information of Lena Olja that they are going to do a service for her in Ohio, and then they plan on coming on Tuesday, I believe it is, for the burial, which would be here in New Jersey. And once we have more information on that, we will let you know on that. Are there any other things that need to be announced? If not, let's sing from hymn number 216, "We Are Assembled Here, O Lord." Hymn number 216.
Good morning. Let us bow to pray. Father, we come before you with thankful hearts that you have brought us to this place, where we can put away the cares and concerns we have of our daily lives and focus on your word and focus on you. We thank you for the many examples that we have in the scriptures of men and women who relied in you and grew in grace and strength because of that. And then we also have examples of men and women who did the wrong thing and suffered as a result of it. May we follow the latter, the former. May we read your word, study it, live it, allow your Holy Spirit to work in our lives each and every day. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence here with us, and ask that you would guide us as we now open your word and we learn from it. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and pray this in your name. Amen. So we'll go back into 2 Kings chapter 5, and I'll read the whole chapter. 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, and he was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man might send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said to thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like to the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And returned to the man of God, he and his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. And he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not, then I pray thee, be given thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when thy master goeth unto the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow myself down in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him in a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master hath spared Naaman this Syrian, in not receiving at his hand that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now there's come to the men to me from Mount Ephraim 2 young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. And Naaman said, Be content, take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver in 2 bags and with 2 changes of raiments and laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, He took them from his hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elijah said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, and to receive garments, and olive yards, and vineyards, and sheep, and oxen, and manservants, and maidservants? The leprosy of Naaman shall cleave unto thee, and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence, a leper, as white as snow. In the last 2 months, we've looked at, in this scripture here, about the life of the little maid and of Naaman. And today we'll focus on Elisha and Gehazi. Remember, before Elijah was taken to heaven in a chariot of fire, he asked Elisha what Elijah should do for him. In 2 Kings 2:9, Elisha responds, Let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. I found multiple lists of the miracles of Elijah and Elisha. It's interesting that they're not consistent. Some put prophecies in them. Some put, you know, minor things that, is it really a miracle? Anyway, but what's interesting is that Elijah had, you know, 8 miracles, Elisha 16. Elijah had 14 miracles, Elijah had 28. Always double amount. A few of those are recorded in 2 Kings. And there we read about the married, wealthy Shunammite woman. As Elisha traveled throughout Israel, he would stay at their house many times. And the woman asked her husband to expand their house and add a room so when Elisha visited, he would have a place to stay. And they did that. Elisha was impressed by this generosity and asked Gehazi to talk to the woman and see if she needed anything. And she said, no, all is well with them. But then Gehazi told Elijah, the woman has no son, and her husband is old. Now, the scriptures don't tell us that she had other children, but I am under the impression, I have a feeling that she did have daughters, but no son. So there's no heir, and also no one to take responsibility once her husband, who was old, would pass away. So, through the inspiration of the Spirit, Elisha says, have the woman come here. And he tells her that in next year, you will embrace a son. And her response is, don't lie to me. But a year later, she does have a son. And she is very obviously overjoyed by that. When the boy is older, we don't know what age he is, he complains to his father about having a headache, and so his father sends a servant, take him to his mother, and she holds her young son on her lap until he dies. And she's obviously devastated. So she takes the little boy up to Elisha's room and lays him on Elisha's bed. And then she goes and looks for Elisha in Mount Carmel. Elisha sees her coming and says, well, that's the Shunammite woman. Gehazi, go find out what's going on. And he goes, runs, and asks her as she's coming along. And her response is, all is well. That word well that's used a few times here is always the Hebrew word shalom. All is at peace. Even though inside, she was not at peace. When she arrives, she grabs Elisha's feet, and Gehazi wants to push her away. You know, you don't do this to the prophet. But then Elisha says, no, she is distraught. Don't stop her. And in 2 Kings 4:27, Elisha says, "Let her alone, for her soul is troubled within her, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." Prophets are not omniscient. They don't know everything. They only know what the Lord decides to reveal unto them. So then the woman explains, "Did I ask for a son for my Lord? Did I not say, don't deceive me?" Clearly, her heart was breaking. She didn't need to say any more. Elisha understood from her grief that her son had died. So Elisha sends Gehazi back to her house with his staff and tells him, "Go take this staff and lay it on the boy." Gehazi does. He runs ahead while the Shunammite woman and Elisha slowly go back to her house. Gehazi does what he's instructed, but there's no life in the little boy. Then eventually Elisha and the woman arrive. Elisha goes upstairs and he prays to the Lord. And then the boy is miraculously brought back to life. And Gehazi calls the woman back in, and Elisha presents the boy alive back to his mother. And it says she falls at his feet again, but this time she is full of joy versus great sorrow. And sometimes the same thing happens to us. God gives us something and we are overjoyed by what beautiful thing God has given us. But then he can take it away. And then we don't understand why this has happened. We had this joyful person, this joyful thing, and now God decides to take it away. For some, the gift is returned, and then there's joy again. But for others, the gift is not returned, and we need to learn how to live without that gift that God has given us. We need the attitude of Job. When he lost everything, he said, "The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Or we need the attitude of Paul when he asked Jesus to take away his thorn in the flesh. And Jesus told him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." We need to rest in the grace that the Lord Jesus provides. We need to allow his grace to wash over us, even when it doesn't make sense. I wonder if in that account in 1 Kings 4, where Gehazi was unable to revive the boy, was the start of his dissatisfaction with his life as Elisha's servant. In 2 Kings 5:20, it says, "But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, 'Behold, my master hath spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at his hand that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him.'" This verse is rich with a few negative implications. Gehazi's job was to be the servant of Elisha, the man of God. He has been doing this for years. If you remember, just a few verses earlier, Naaman was healed. Before he was healed, he was a proud commander of the Syrian army. And in order to be healed, he had to humble himself. He had to put aside his pride. And then after he was physically healed by obeying the instruction of Elisha, not only did he receive physical healing, but from what he had said, it looks like he also had spiritual inner cleansing. His heart was changed because he said, "There is no God in all the earth but in Israel." And he promised that he would only offer burnt offerings and sacrifice to the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh. And then when he comes back and talks to Elisha, he calls himself thy servant. He's talking to Elisha. He basically says, "I am your servant. And you are the servant of the living God." Naaman is no longer the proud commander. He is a servant of Elisha who served the Lord. Gehazi's job was being the servant of Elisha, the man of God. But it looks like he didn't like the lack of perks. I wonder when Naaman offered Elisha the presents that we read in verse 5, was Gehazi thinking, I wonder what's going to be mine? I think he was probably very disappointed when Elisha refused to accept a present from Naaman and sent him back to Syria. Naaman demonstrated inner cleansing. Gehazi demonstrated inner decay. He was disappointed with Naaman, and he was disappointed with Elisha. And in verse 20, he invokes the name of the Lord when he decides to break with Elisha's God-inspired decision to refuse any gift. What arrogance. And he convinces himself to run after Naaman and to get something of value. I need to get something out of this transaction. He was not satisfied with Naaman's changed life. Elisha was. Elisha, I wouldn't say word overjoyed, but he basically told him, "Go in peace. Basically, God has healed you. Don't do anything to undo what God has given you." And as Gehazi gets close to Naaman, he says a few things that are basically lies. First of all, we read that Naaman gets out of the chariot to speak to Gehazi. If he was the proud commander, he would stay in his chariot and look down at Gehazi and said, "What do you want? What do you need?" But he gets out of his chariot. I think he looked at Gehazi as an equal. They were both servants of Elisha. He was not just cordial. He was happy to see Gehazi again. What can I do for you? But then Gehazi concocts this story. It says, first of all, "My master hath sent me," his first lie. And then, "Behold, two young men of the sons of prophets have come. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments." Another lie. Was this pre-planned? Did this just come up? It almost sounds like he had rehearsed this as he was getting up to Naaman's chariot. Remember, Elisha had not accepted a gift from Naaman because he did not want it to look like that Naaman's healing was a result of getting a gift. You know, you go to the store, you give them $10, they give you something in back for that $10. This was not that type of a transaction. This was a free gift by God to Naaman. There was no connection with monetary. So when Naaman goes back to Syria and they say, You're healed. What happened? It's a miracle. I didn't have to do anything except, you know, be obedient to dip myself in the Jordan River. I didn't have to pay a penny. Nothing. But now, with what happens here, you wonder what happens to that witness when Naaman goes back. So, you know, clearly Gehazi was lying here, and Naaman was more than happy. He had no idea what Gehazi was up to, and, you know, he even talked him to taking more than what Gehazi had asked for. Okay, clearly, Gehazi was not looking to give this to two prophets from Ephraim, to sons of prophets. He was looking at for himself. So he takes these things, and it's interesting that as he returns, Naaman has two of his servants take these items. So it almost seems like what those two talents of silver and the two garments was probably a little more than Gehazi could carry himself from wherever he met Naaman back to his house. So two servants had to be used to carry these goods back to Gehazi's house. And then when he gets back to the house, he basically takes those items and hides them in his house and sends the servants away. Now he goes back into Elisha. And Elisha asks, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" And Gehazi responds, "Nowhere." He lied to Naaman. Now he has to lie to Elisha. I think it all started by lying to himself. He thought that being Elisha's servant was not good enough. And isn't that what happens to us when we lie? We say one thing, then we need to remember what we said so that, you know, the next time somebody asks us, we need to lie a different way so that that first lie is not discovered. Clearly the scriptures tell us not to lie, to speak the truth. Even after all Gehazi's experiences with Elisha, it's so surprising that he finds it almost easy to lie to Elisha. He has served him for years and years and years. Previously, back in chapter 4, when we talked about when that Shunammite woman came to Elisha, he had no idea what she was going through. God had not revealed it to him. But this time, in verse 26, we read, and I'll put words into it, "And Elisha said unto Gehazi, Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee?" It's almost like a movie was playing in Elisha's mind. He was there when Gehazi came to Naaman. Naaman came out of that chariot, spoke with Gehazi, offered him things. Elisha knew it all, clearly because God revealed it to him. He needed to let Gehazi know that he knew, that Elisha knew what Gehazi had done. But then, in verse 26, he adds, to receive the garments, "and olive yards, and vineyards, and sheep, and oxen, and men servants, and maid servants." What's that all about? I think Elisha was able to see into the heart of Gehazi. He was frustrated with his life as his servant. Gehazi wanted more. He wasn't satisfied with just being Elisha's servant. And he wasn't satisfied with just that money, those talents of silver, and the two changes of garments. He wanted olive yards, vineyards, sheep, oxen, men servants, and maid servants. And maybe he was thinking of that Shunammite woman who was a wealthy woman. She had many of those things, and he wished he had that. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." That verse is almost a perfect verse for what Gehazi had done to his own life. He was unhappy being just Elisha's servant. Now he had to live the life of a leper for the rest of his life and for his descendants. So, what should we learn from 2 Kings chapter 5? We need the hope of the little maid that God can heal. Not always physically, but we know clearly that he can heal spiritually. And that's even more important than the physical healing. We need to know that grace, we learn that grace and mercy come to those who are obedient, as Naaman was. We also need to be humble, as Naaman was, to listen to that simple instruction to go dip yourself 7 times in the Jordan. We need to be humble in how we follow the Lord. And we need to be true servants of the Lord. And we need to be satisfied with the life that God has given us and not be greedy like Gehazi. And a perfect example of humbleness, servanthood, and obedience is our Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2, it says, and I'm reading from the NIV, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus is the best example, the perfect example that we should follow. And we should be the true, a similar servant, have the appropriate humility, and be obedient to what the Scripture says on how we should live. Would someone please suggest a hymn for closing?
263, please.
thank God for his word that he has given unto us to hear today. And we look at some of the things that really require faith on our part and humbleness. And we see that sometimes in children, that they are more humbled, that they know some things, but they also know that there are other people who know a lot more than they do. And in this case, we see that there was a king in Israel, and he was made a king when he was 7 years old. And we see that he cleansed the temple that wasn't being used as it should be. And so he was one who was obeying God. And in this other story, we started with a little maid, that she was brought as a captive to a foreign land, but she said that there's a prophet that can heal this person. And that childlike faith that she had started this out, that he would be healed of the leprosy. And we see that the adults are making their own decisions, that they get their own plans, and they want to go according to those plans. That and sometimes we do that too, and sometimes we think that we have a lot of experience in some things, and we have a lot of things that have happened in our lives, and that we would should do it according to the things that we think it should be done. But we see there that was not according to God's will, that when he came back and he asked for money and a change of garment, that those are the things he was thinking about. And we have to go to back to that childlike faith that we had probably at one time, and to recognize that we need that, and that we want to serve God in all that we say and do. I think we'll close with a prayer then, and then if we could sing from hymn number 163, and I'd like to sing verses 1, 2, and 7. But let's arise for a prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day that you have given unto us. We thank you for the time that we could spend in your word, and that we could learn from you. And Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you for who you are, and the mighty God that you are, and we are thankful for what you have given us, and what you have provided in your Son Jesus Christ, that he would be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And we thank you for that, and we ask that many would find that out, that they would realize that in their lives, that is not our will that should be done, but that is your will that should be done. And Lord, as we also would partake of a meal, we ask that your blessing would be upon the food, and that our time in your house of worship would be a blessing for all. For we pray it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If we could sing hymn number 163, 1, 2, and 7.
Would you like to stand? Feel free.